This is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. The Kingston Prize, a biannual art exhibition, will be announcing their winner on the night of October 13th, 2023. The winner of the exhibition receives $20,000, while the runner-ups get an honorable mention. We spoke to three of the six finalists from Toronto about their submissions and their backgrounds as artists.
The first person I spoke to was Sean Downey, the winner of the prize, with his submission, Near the Elevator.
Downey has submitted to the Kingston Prize four times and has been accepted three times. His submission is a hyper-realistic portrait of a young woman in a chair staring off into the middle distance.
Hi, my name is Sean Downey, and I'm a Toronto-based figurative and portrait painter.
How long have you been using oil on canvas as your medium?
So this year I visited the Toronto Outdoor Art Show, and I realized that it was the 20th anniversary since my first exhibition, which was there in 2003. So I had sort of been playing with oils and learning using oil paints for about, I guess, 3 or 4 years before that. I took illustration at Sheridan College, and during that time I was sort of torn between becoming an illustrator and becoming a fine art painter, but I thought it was more of a commercially viable opportunity to become an illustrator, so I studied illustration. But by the time I got to the end of college, I realized that that wasn't for me, because, you know, with illustration you only have 3-4 days to complete a piece, and I was already leading towards high realism and sort of doing portraits and figurative work that take much longer than that. So I decided to shift focus and start applying to art shows with some oil paintings.
One of your first exhibitions was 20 years ago. So how long have you been a professional fine art painter?
Well, that show, actually, I had moved back home after college, and I was living with my parents. They had graciously given me their basement as my first studio. And so that was my first show, and I actually did quite well and sold a number of paintings. And then ever since then, I've been painting basically full time, doing some teaching along the way, but mostly full time artist.
When it comes to the Kingston Prize, how many times have you submitted for it?
I've submitted probably 3 or 4 times. Luckily, I've been accepted as one of the shortlists 3 out of those 4 times, I believe. So I've been very fortunate to be able to be in the exhibition most years that I've applied.
And making it to the shortlist of the four, that includes your most recent one, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So your most recent submission for this year, Near the Elevator. In your artist statement, you talk about how you work on this through photographs using a professional model. Why go through photographs rather than the traditional painter where you have the model sit and you paint?
Right. I kind of think painting from life is sort of a torturous process for both the artist and the model. With cameras being what they are now, you can get such great imagery. And I also find that working from life, the expression of the model sort of becomes stagnant, because the model is sitting there and staying still, and their expression is sort of wiped away. Whereas with a photograph, you're able to capture instants, specific moments that happen very quickly, that if you were to sit with a model for an extended period of time, you just don't have that sort of immediacy. And I also work on paintings over several years. So I'll start a painting, the painting of Serena, who is the model for the Kingston Prize painting. I started that painting 2019 and sort of will pull a painting out of storage, work on it for 3 or 4 months off and on. Sometimes it goes back into storage. Sometimes it stays in my space. So I enjoy working on paintings for an extended period of time. And I hiring a model and sitting with a model is something I've never really done, other than back in school when you study from life. But I much prefer to work from photographs for a number of reasons. Also, the model doesn't have to break her back to sit there for hours upon end.
I guess also because of your process of taking these paintings out of storage and back in storage, or leaving them there, it also saves money or saves you money not having to have the model come in every single time.
Oh, yeah. And also hairstyles change. People's appearance changes over the years. So it'd be near impossible to continue that same painting having the model visit years later.
So why do you paint like that, like monthly phases?
So I work in layers. So with oil paint, it takes, you know, several weeks for layers to dry. So I'll usually work in 3 or 4 layers, with waiting for each layer to dry in between before I continue. So I'm constantly working on a rotating group of paintings, sometimes 20 up to 30 paintings, sometimes all different dimensions, all different sizes, anywhere from 4 by 4 inches to 6 by 6 feet. I just sort of work on the paintings, have deadlines for shows, and I'll find, oh, these few paintings work well together. So I'll sort of have a stable of paintings to pick and choose which ones I'm going to group together and finish for whichever exhibition is coming up.
And so you took these photos back in 2019. So how many photos did you have, and what was the selection process like to find the one you like the most?
Yeah. So when I do a photo shoot with a model, I usually take literally hundreds of photographs, different settings, different locations within the space. That was actually the photo for that. Those paintings was shot in my old studio at 888 DuPont, which is a building, a classic artist building that is being torn down. So it was sort of a process of capturing the model and also capturing that space, because we knew our time there was limited when we started renting there. So I take hundreds of photos, and then I'll sort of take a few days after the photos shoot has been finished and don't look at them at all, to sort of just let it process in my mind, and then start to chisel down the paintings. I'll say, look at 300 photos and then choose my favorite 50. And then I'll take another week and don't look at them again. And then I'll look at them again and chisel them down to, say, half that, 25, then 10. And then I like to take long breaks in between viewing the photos, because sometimes you get excited about a photo just because of, maybe it's your memory with the photo shoot. Oh, that was a fun moment when you did the photo shoot. But visually, it might not be the best image. So it sort of takes some time to let my brain digest and view the photos with a fresh eye over a period of weeks and months until I finally choose the final image. But I often will sort of like take the arms and hands from one image and use the face from another image and sort of collage them in Photoshop to find the final composition before I begin the painting.
And for Near the Elevator, was that the case there, where it was a collage of photos?
That one was one photo that I had chosen. Often when I'm doing a photo shoot, my favorite moments to sort of paint, and I mentioned this in my artist statement, is sort of the moment when someone's coming out of laughter or a smile. I don't really like to paint people smiling in photographs and sort of in my paintings, because it has that sort of Sears portrait look. But if someone, when you're taking their photo, they're sort of self-conscious, whether they're a professional model or a friend or a family member or whoever it is. So I'm constantly trying to keep it light, keep the photo shoot light, tell jokes, sort of tell stories of other paintings and other photos, photo shoots. And then when they're sort of had their guard down, and I catch them in a laugh or a smile, and as they're sort of coming out of that smile back into focus on what we're doing, there's sort of that perfect moment that is sort of a natural expression that I can tell they're at ease and translate well into portrait painting.
So with You're in the Elevator, the photo you chose and what you painted is off on a almost skewed side angle, with the model Serena not looking directly towards the camera, but off to the distance. So what was it about this photo specifically that you chose?
I just think her expression was so, the expression of her figure is sort of like this aloof, relaxed pose, and her face is sort of this calm expression. Her mouth is sort of open. Again, I think she was coming out of a laugh or a smile, and it just has this sort of warmth to it. It feels like someone, a friend, or someone you could just picture yourself spending time with. So when I paint a portrait, I'm also thinking about how that's going to feel in a room of a potential client, or whether it's acquired by a museum or a gallery, just sort of how, when we look at a painting, we're sort of interacting with that person, especially at a scale where she's 3/4 life size. There's a certain presence in the room when you have a realistic portrait. And I always just sort of keep that in mind with when I'm painting a portrait. Does it express that person? Does it express what I learned about that person in our brief time together? And is it sort of a comfortable, warm image that I would want to spend the time painting and hopefully the client would want to spend time living with?
So that's actually all my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
I just really appreciate that the Kingston Prize exists in Canada. There aren't a lot of portrait competitions in the world, let alone here. And it's always an honor to be represented and being able to share my work with people and feel appreciated for all the hours and months and years I've spent owning my craft.
I spoke to another hyper-realist oil painter, Houssam Alloum. Alloum has submitted twice to the exhibition and was accepted both times. His submission, Arthur the King, depicts a man in a tin foil crown.
Yeah, my name is Hussam Alloum. I am a father, husband, let's say. I am an artist living in Toronto right now. Yeah, I came to Canada 5 years ago. I'm having a quiet life here in Canada and building my career as a professional artist.
And how long have you been a professional artist for?
I start very early, actually. It was my hobby. I start, as my parent told me, around 3 years old, showing my interest in drawing and this stuff. And yeah, you can say it's growing with me year by year. And after that, I studied fine art in Damascus University.
You're also now one of the finalists for the Kingston Prize. And what draws you to make hyper-realistic art?
I start in 2016 with this style, let's say. And it was like my meditation. It's need a lot of patience. It took a lot of time to go deeply with the details. I like it. It's showing part of my personality, let's say.
So your piece that you submitted for the Kingston Prize, the piece Arthur the King, is now one of the finalists. What made you want to submit this piece rather than any others you worked on?
It's the recently project, we can say. I like that piece because it's different, because it's part of my story, let's say, of life, because always I use the subject from the people around me. This piece, it was different because it's have related with my studio place now, because this subject of this friend, he used to be the one he give me the opportunity to have my studio space right now. And it was a different kind of connection with the people, especially for someone like me, he's new in Canada. Always meeting people could be through store. I like this piece. It's showing my relationship with people around me. This is kind of a reflection of my connection with the community here in Toronto. Different kind of people, different kind of personalities, showing people personalities in different way.
How does it show your connection with the people of Toronto?
Yeah, as I mentioned, this part of the story, how I got my studio space. You know, here in Canada, people has it's multicultural city, especially in Toronto. So always I meet different kind of people with different interests. This subject show me how people, they can have like their own life in their special way and their special opinion about the life, how they deal with the time, with life, with everything. And this is build my experience as a human, as an artist, to know more about the life here in Toronto through people.
One of the more interesting parts, or one of the parts that stands out rather, of your painting is the connection to King Arthur. Kings typically have golden crowns. You chose to give the subject in your painting a tinfoil crown. So why did you choose to do that?
Yeah, because let's say the traditional king, he wearing the gold because it's showing his power, his wealthy, and his interest and his luxury life. But you can be king in your own life through very simple way, through very simple ideas, how to test the life. What's the meaning of happiness in life? What's the meaning of the powerful in life? For some people, the powerful in life, how much money you have in your bank account. And for some people, the power in life, how you are healthy, like physically and mentally. This is of the different opinion, how you see the life itself, you know. I'm trying in this painting to show the difference between the idea to be like a king in your own life, in your own way. You don't need to be like a king with all tools to be king in your life. You can be king with your old car, with your small kayak and on the tub, and just having fun, enjoying the natural here in Canada. People really, they have the different kind of happiness, and this is what make me really interested to show this way how people deal with the concept of having the life that they need or they like it.
Okay, that's actually all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you would like to leave off on?
Yeah, thank you for this meeting. I'm excited, and I'm so happy to be a finalist in Kingston Prize for the second time. And what I have to say, I'm happy for this achievement, and I am happy to be one of the finalists with this amazing artist and the talented artists.
Not all submissions were hyper-realist. Jim Bravo, who won an honorable mention at this year's art exhibition, his submission, The Seamstress, is more impressionistic. Bravo's painting is a childhood memory of his living room growing up, with his mother and grandmother working in their jobs as seamstresses.
All right, well, I'm Jim Bravo, painter, artist, yeah, oil painter, landscapes, all that kind of thing, portraits, pretty traditional stuff.
How long have you been painting professionally for?
Professionally, probably, that's a hard one to answer, because like there's so many gaps at the beginning. It was like, oh, here I am, finally, and then there was nothing for a while. But I'm going to say, let's say 2001 or something like that. Unprofessionally, oh boy, I guess my whole life.
What is it about painting specifically that has been like a lifelong passion for you?
This is going to sound weird, but I love the smell of oil paint, first of all. When I was a kid, there was this sort of place to keep you out of trouble we'd go to, and they had an art room. And I was like, what is that smell? And I went in there, and it was all these oil paint tubes everywhere. Probably cost a fortune back then. But I started painting right then and there, and I was like, I love it. Just moving color around with a brush, the strangest thing, creating worlds, creating faces, that kind of thing.
And I guess that's how you chose oil as your medium.
Oil, yeah. At first it was difficult, and then I kind of shied away from it because I realized, holy, my stuff is not looking at all like the things I'm seeing that I really like or admire. And then I did acrylic for a long time, kind of as a cop out, out of fear, because oil is kind of intimidating. Third year art college, I went to Montreal to this symbolism retrospective, and it just knocked me on my butt, and I was like, I got to get back into oil. And then so since about 90. What year would that have been? 95. I started going pretty hard and trying to learn the medium and trying to, I don't want to say the word master it, but try to get used to it so that it actually works for me. Acrylic I use for commercial jobs that are quick, like a mural or something like that. You know, I do a lot of murals as well.
And kind of going back to the way the paintings you like of being very direct in your paintings, how do you implement that in your submission, The Seamstress?
It's a point of view from myself as like an 8-year-old or something. And it's the living room of where we grew up on Bloor Street. And that's just a scene that I used to walk into almost every morning. It'd be my mom and her mom getting down to business, being seamstresses, tailors, whatever you want to call it. So I was trying to sort of like have this almost claustrophobic feel, because it was a small, tiny apartment. And they had to jam everything in there, like the sewing machine and, you know, all that kind of stuff that you see there. So I really wanted to hopefully give that impression of you're in this like really constricted space, and the carpet doesn't finish. It runs off of the painting, where most people would have just closed it off and maybe had a bit of the hardwood floor showing. I just wanted it to run off as if you're sort of like in there.
So one of the first things I noticed when looking at this painting is very specifically the vibrancy of the reds and the oranges within the work itself. So why is there that usage of those colors?
That's, you know, okay, for example, the headdress they're wearing, that's just really typical black lady thing. You know, like with dark skin, we always like to go for oranges and reds and that kind of thing. And that was a very common thing to see them with the handkerchiefs on their over their afros while they did their work, right? And that couch actually does exist. That was the family couch. And it was orange with those weird, like, you know, sort of very 70s pinstripes in there. And the stained glass lamp, that would have been something that we would have had. So I just sort of, like, was thinking about those retro colors.
And seeing as this is a point, or supposed to be a point of view photo, were you working only off of memory, or did you have any other reference material back to that period?
Well, my mom, I was always, you know, I was walking up to her and asking her, hey, you know, aside from like sketching her and sketching my grandmother from life, over the last few years, I was always asking them, hey, what was that thing we had? And then they would clarify, you know, because that's something that they did, you know, up until the very end, right? Like they just kept, it's like, it's such a strong family tradition. They kept sewing and sewing and sewing. I'm kind of sad that I haven't carried it on. But like, I had some family photos that I referred to for the setting. And then I did some sketches of my mom when she was in the hospital and likewise of my grandmother. And I put it all together. So it's sort of a composite, right? It's memories, some direct photo references for the, like, say, the carpet and the couch and even the wallpaper. I mean, because the apartment that she had put her sewing machine away. So there wasn't anything I could actually refer to in at that time. So I decided to make it slightly of a throwback just in terms of the decor. But the person was very much alive. You know, so that's sort of how I did that. That's how that came together. So it's sort of a mishmash, a composite.
When you were finished and you're looking at the final product, was there any nostalgia?
Constantly. Yeah. I mean, I look, you know, I mean, nostalgia in a way, because like I said, she was still doing that. So that was still very current. You know, we lost her about a year or so ago, a year and a half, maybe or so ago. I don't even like to think about it. But so like when I finished it, it was really, it's still pretty moving. Like when I have it here at home, I sometimes have to turn it around. I can't really look at it. You know what I mean? Because her expression, even my dad saw it and he was like, oh my God, like she looks so great. And he got that exasperated look. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, don't photograph me now. What are you doing? I'm busy. You know what I mean? That kind of a look. So that all that came flooding back. So yeah, I get super emotional about that. They were two very, very, very active and vibrant people who just were, seemed like they suddenly got taken away. So I thought I would do that in tribute to them.
And now it's one of the finalist portraits. So when you got that news of this piece that obviously means so much to you, what was going through your head when you found out?
Pretty bowled over by that. And the lead up in the email sort of left you hanging. And then they said, oh yeah, you know, you've been accepted. So I was like, oh my God. Because it was like after careful consideration and so on and so forth. But it took a while for them to say, oh, you've been accepted. At least that's how I read. Maybe I was just like nervous and it was being processed in my brain slowly. But I was pretty happy about it. And the first thing I thought of was, this is, you know, it's not the ultimate victory. It's amazing to get in and that's enough for me. Anything else is gravy. And I kind of feel like it's a win for them too, because I always thought they were, there's something very projectable about my mom. Her personality was so big, and same with my grandmother. Everyone who met them really loved them. And I thought, well, this is sort of a victory for them. Here they are in their element doing their thing, and it's been honored. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about it.
All of the finalists' paintings can be seen on KingstonPrize.ca.